verse here in chapter 12. I want to talk to you on this subject this morning, reigniting our passion for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Today is the fifth Sunday of the month, and typically our church will have the Lord's Supper during the fifth Sunday. And so today we're going to be focused on that, and I want us to start here realizing that we should always be ready each and every day of our life, not just on Sunday, but every day of our life, to reignite our passion for the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you found your place there in Mark chapter 12? I'll begin reading in verse 28. You say, Would you please stand in honor of the reading of God's holy, inspired, and inerrant Word of God? Begin reading in verse 28. Then one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, Jesus, which is the first commandment of all? Let me stop. Because right there, you would think commandment, you would think over in Exodus chapter 20, the Ten Commandments. But that's not where Jesus goes. He goes to Deuteronomy chapter 6 of the Old Testament. It's called the Shema in Hebrew. It means to hear. Listen to what he says. First of all commandments, he says, is hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. Father, I pray our ears are in fact open to hear what you have for us today. Each and every one of us would not only know your presence with us, Lord, but that presence would cause us to open ourselves with great expression of love and passion towards you. Love, Lord, because you first loved us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. May be seated. I think it's pretty clear what the Bible says here, that God wants us to love him passionately. All that we are, all of our love, all of our strength, all of our soul, everything about it, with all of our heart, not part, not half-heartedly, but with all of our very being. In fact, the creative force behind just about anything that's ever been created in art or music or whatever was done with passion. Nothing great is ever accomplished without passion. In fact, nothing great is ever sustained in life without a passion. We're all young and you begin to grow and point which direction you're going in life and you're trying to find your passion that will ultimately lead you in whatever vocational field, whatever project or opportunity that you're looking for to do it passionately. Well, God tells us all the passion you should have is for Him. Everything should be Him. Passion really is what energizes life. Passion makes the impossible possible. It causes you to have an idea. And with that passion of that idea, when others would say it's impossible, you stay true to it. It's the same thing with our Lord and Savior. We have a passion with Him. And sometimes we may look at this world and say it's impossible to change the world. Jesus said, I went to the cross to change the world. And by the way, you're sitting here because it's changed your life. It's changed my life. Passion gives you a reason, really, to get up in the morning. Get up in the morning to be charged off. Without passion, life becomes very dull, boring. It can be dull. It can be monotonous. It's doing the same thing over and over and over. And you lose that passion. God created you and I with emotions. We have emotions. Yes, even in a Baptist church. You're allowed to be Baptist-costal here. It's okay. God has given us emotions. And to have a passion for life and the life that the Lord has given us, which today is abundant and eternal. And therefore, we should have that passion. Passion is that cause the explorers to go boldly where no one else has ever gone before. Sounds like Star Trek here for a minute. But it's a passion that causes scientists to come together and spend long hours and nights trying to figure out about a particular disease. But passion is that a good athlete, someone who's average and good, but that passion causes them to work harder to become a great athlete. And number one thing for a Christian is to love the Lord with all of our heart, with all our heart, to do what is to love God passionately, not half-heartedly, but and nothing else would even matter if we don't love the Lord passionately. If we're not doing that, then it's just routine. It's just religion. It's not a relationship. You know, when you get into a relationship with a husband and wife, you do this passionately. You love your wife, you love them. Come together. And my friends, this is our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus says, if you're going to follow me, do it passionately. Do it with everything. Not half-heartedly. Do it with everything. Give it some, I don't know how to spell this word. Give it some oomph. Give it some spark. Give it some zip. Give it some enthusiasm. Give it some zest. Give it, have some zealousness about your life, about the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only but every day of the week. You see, the truth is, throughout Scripture, the Bible teaches us to love God passionately, to sing passionately, to seek Him passionately, to serve and obey Him passionately. God, trust Him with all we have passionately. The Bible says, if you don't believe what Jesus says, how about the Apostle Paul saying, whatever you do, do it, but with all of your heart. Whatever you do. Whatever you do, do it with all of your heart, as unto who? To the Lord. Not to the man, not to mankind. In our culture, it's okay to be passionate about everything, but when it comes to our faith, we have a tendency to kind of slip down a little bit. And in fact, let the world overcome us instead of us overcoming the world. Allowing our love for the Lord to be displayed. Romans chapter 12, 11 says, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor. In some texts that say, be fervent in spirit. In other words, my friend, that we ought to be energetic, enthusiastic about our walk with the Lord Jesus Christ, our relationship with Him. We should have an aflame in our heart for the Lord Jesus Christ, and have a passion for Him, be zealous for Him. And here in this particular passage of Romans, it says to keep your spiritual. That's a decision you make. That is a choice. That's a commitment that you make. It's something that you will maintain in your life. You have a passion. You teach that in our children, you ought to have a passion. The kids ought to see the passion. If you're teaching the adults, they ought to see the passion that you have for the Word of God. You can't wait to get into the Word of God. You can't wait to pray. You can't wait to see them on Sunday morning in Sunday school class. Why? Because you know why we have to do that? You know why we have to make that choice every day? Because we get distracted. We get distracted by all kinds of things. Everything in life conspires to keep us from being passionate from the Lord. I mean, it just happens to be that way. We're like a helium balloon. You know, it begins to dissipate, and all of a sudden it begins floating down to the ground. You know, we get like that sometimes. We get really excited when you get saved, and then it changes, life changes, everything, perspective changes, and you just get waiting to get there in church, to be around folks, and to grow and to study the Word of God. But over time, maybe even something slips in, and all of a sudden, we begin to be our zeal seems to disappear. We lose our zest, our zip, our enthusiasm along the way. Now, what does that? What causes that? Let me give you a couple of suggestions today, and you find where you may be in this. Okay, what I call passion killers. One of those is not losing your talent for the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Everyone in here, as Jesus Christ, as He is your Lord, you have a gift. You have a spiritual gift. And certain gifts and abilities and talents that God has given to you, and if you don't use them, if you do not use those gifts at all, you're going to lose your passion for it. You're going to lose your passion. Because your passion is where that gift and that ability and that talent is God. God did not give you that gift. He gave you a gift. He gave you a talent. Is this to sing or play an instrument? Is this to teach in a class? Or is this to be a great nursery worker? And whatever it is, God has given you. You may be a great soul winner. You may be someone that God has stirred up in your heart to tell somebody about the Lord Jesus. Desire. So, my friends, I believe one of the pillars of passion is not using the spiritual gift. Another one, and this is a big one, unconfessed sin. Unconfessed sin. I mean, that's a big one. It robs joy. It robs your confidence in your walk with the Lord. It robs your patience. I mean, we may very well rationalize sin consciously. Wait a minute. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to pray and I want you to ask God to show you if you sin. It'll be like that. God show you instantly. And you know what? God's given us the means to eradicate, to move it out, to pray and ask. He says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins and forgive, because He will forgive us of our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And that's my offering so far. So you can't be enthusiastic and pure at the same time. And that's why all folks lose passion. Because we know we're sinners saved by grace. You said something, you did something, you thought something, you saw something you shouldn't, and all of a sudden it's there. It's keeping you from releasing that passion from the Lord. Friends, you don't have to be that way. God did not design it that way. He sent the Lord Jesus Christ to die on the cross to say, I offer you a gift, freedom from guilt. You don't have to be guilty. We're no longer condemned, the writer of Romans tells us. And we're free of that. So unconfessed sin is a passion killer. How about another one? Unresolved conflict. That kills passion. It kills passion. And that conflict drains every ounce of energy in you. When there's a difference in a conflict between you and, say, someone else, it takes to, I've heard it say this way, it takes to sit out of your ego. I mean, it just causes, I'm not going to go to that church again. I mean, it just takes everything away. Everything, because of this little conflict that might be there. Listen, you can't control another person if they're the source of your conflict, but you can control the kind of emotions you feel. Emotions like resentment or jealousy or anger. I know what you're thinking right now. You might know what you might have said. That person was really bad and what they said was wrong. I can't believe you're asking me to let them off the hook. No, I'm not saying that. I'm not saying let them off the hook. I'm saying to you, put them on God's hook. Don't you deal with it, handle it, and struggle with it. Listen, I'm not telling you. Unforgiveness kills passion in life. That's in a way. Here's another passion killer, and that's an unsupported lifestyle. Unsupported lifestyle. In other words, sometimes we lose passion because we stop hanging out with people who are passionate. We stop hanging out with the wrong crowd, the negative crowd, not the more passionate crowd. The crowd that's always down, down, down. The crowd that's see things in God's perspective. If we don't hang around folks who are in love with the Lord Jesus Christ and are not ashamed of that and show that passion, my friends, you need to hang around some folks and let it touch that from them and pour back into your heart. We're made for relationships. We need relationships. But we need the kind of relationships that will encourage us and help grow us. The writer of Hebrews tells us, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, come forward when the body of God comes together. Because it's great fellowship, it's great time to come together and hang out with some of you folks that encourage me and cause me to take a look at various things. Listen, we need to hang out. We need each other. Don't be a Christian thinking you can make it on an island by yourself. No, my friends, we need each other. Here's just another one. See, what I believe is a passing killer is an unclear purpose. Unclear purpose. Life without a purpose is just an activity without direction. And sometimes that can even happen to a church. That we get all these activities and all kinds of things, and we're just, wow, man, our bulletin is full of stuff that's going on, but we don't have to do it. It's an activity without direction. And the Lord has given us a purpose for this church. And that is to increase the kingdom of God. This is to do this, to present the kingdom of God wherever we go. And to see the Lord do in people's lives what He's doing in your life. To see lives change, and to see the Lord do a work in their life. You see, many times we find ourselves in a lot of motion, but not moving. But the Lord says, you should have passion, not be distracted by the things. And just what just happens sometimes, they get distracted by budgets and bills and all kinds of things. And distracted by that, and forget about who has made the hills and the thousands of camels that are on that hill. Those that have camels, not camels. There's more camels than there is in the cows. But I'm just saying that I mean, God made all of it. It's got to be God's purpose. You know, what does God want me to do in my life? And then go after that. Have a purpose for that. Have a passion and purpose for that. And then I think the last one that I thought of, that's a passion killer, and that's an unnourished spirit. An unnourished spirit. I mean, life has disappointments, they have distractions, they've got conflicts, life has changes, unexpected problems, pressures, frustration, fear, fatigue, all of those things are there. We begin to shrink in our passion in Jesus Christ. We've got to focus and know it's one spirit. If you're not reading the Bible regularly, if you're not praying regularly, if you're not finding a place in the church to be a part of the body of Christ, my friend, you won't have any passion. You're going to flow through the window and dissipate, and it will be distracting completely. And the Spirit needs your nourishment. It needs spiritual nourishment. That's why churches have opportunities like adult and youth and children Bible study time, where you can sit in a smaller group and begin to talk and share. And you say, oh, yeah, that's happening to me. And then the next thing, you're nourishing your spirit. Here, you've got a pastor that gives you about 30 minutes. My friends, in that all this coming week, they're going to be confronted with all kinds of things. And our kids will be in school, and they're going to have teachers and leaders in front of them all the time. And they need to nourish their spirit. Hopefully, we still want to live in a country where they're free to do that. They're free to do that. But I'm saying we need to do that. And so, when you nourish your spirit, you're going to see that God hopelessly loves you. He hopelessly loves you. The more you realize how God passionately loves you, the more passionate you're going to be for the Lord. Now, here's a question. Pastor, how do we know that God Jesus stretched out his hands and they nailed him to the cross? And in essence, he was saying to you, to me, to us, I'd rather die than live. That's passion. That is passion. The suffering on the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ is called his passion. During the Resurrection Sunday, many people call Easter. We have plagues in the common life. Christian plagues. Why? heart is full this morning, Lord, because I know your love for us is full. And what you have done for me is what you have done. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Before we partake of the Lord's Supper, we're going to sing a song. There will be an opportunity here to respond to the Lord, whatever he may be saying to you. I always give you this. Say yes to the Lord. Whatever he's saying, the Spirit of the Lord is speaking. I pray you're listening. And when he says whatever he says, say yes. Say yes with him. And if there's someone in here today that's never given their heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, or maybe they have and they haven't followed him in baptism yet, or maybe they haven't found a place to sink their spiritual roots for whatever season of life that God has them here. Become a part of the church, become a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, and follow that and get all of that. Hear what the Lord is saying. Let's stand. Let's sing. I'll be here in the front and you are.